This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Binstown TV. My name is Jim, and I'm here with my co-host Kyle, and we are back covering MGM Plus's Beacon 23. Today, we are covering episode 3, titled Why Can't We Go On as 3? But before we get any further, as always, just a little Binstown TV housekeeping. If you're listening from our Silo or Beacon 23 feed and you're not familiar with our other podcast coverage, then we just want to remind you that we cover so many different shows and would love to have you as a listener for those as well. We recently covered Gen V, Fall of the House of Usher, and Attack on Titan. And besides Beacon 23 right now, we're also covering Jujutsu Kaisen and A Murder at the End of the World. We cover a lot of TV and we want you all to come for the ride. All you have to do is search Binstown TV on any of your favorite podcast apps or check us out at BingeTownTV.com. So, like I said, episode 3. We're back, Kyle. I want to hear your thoughts first. I just did my intro, so I want to pass it on to you. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, so we're learning more. We're getting new mysteries again. New character, which, in my opinion, has fallen into the same trap of episode 2 characters.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly less so because of the direct connection we have to Aster, but it almost feels, again, like a villain of the week type of thing. And I'm not sure, like we talked about in the episode we did covering episodes 1 and 2, they're short stories. Maybe this works better in the short story format type of deal, where, like, or maybe, again, maybe our expectations aren't calibrated correctly about what type of story this will be, but it just felt a little off because of this side character thing where, like, I don't really care that much about this woman. I felt like build this relationship quickly with Aster, and they have this past, and the ending was shocking, but it felt more shocking for shock value than like emotional type of thing. So I don't know. The mysteries of their pasts, and now again we get Aster's mother. That's the more interesting stuff for me. I want more of that stuff. The relationships and the side characters are kind of falling flat for me.
They're definitely slow burning it for us. We were talking about in episode 2 how we don't know where this is really going, and I don't think that they answered that yet. No. I still think we're in that limbo where we're not sure where this is going. Are they going to leave the beacon? Is this going to be story after story within the beacon? I don't mind what it's going to be either way. I just kind of want to figure that out sooner rather than later, just so I have my expectations figured out, just like you said, Kyle. Mm-hmm. I do think 3 was stronger than 2. I didn't really care at all about the Wreckers. Like, you know, obviously, in the very beginning of this episode, we have Halen packing up the bodies. They dispose of them later in the episode. You brought it up last episode. Battle, we don't care. Are we going to see the kid again? Yeah. Maybe. But I liked Coley. I liked this situation with Coley and Aster. I liked that this gave us a lot more information about Aster than the Wreckers could ever have done. I think Coley served a way bigger purpose than the Wreckers did, and I do agree that it's another quote-unquote villain or character of the week. I was very surprised they killed her off that quick again. It's like, it's just crazy that it just seems like they're recycling over and over. Like, here's a new character. Oh, wait, we're just going to go back to our main two in the AI. Here's a new character. Oh, wait, we're just going to go back to the main two in our AI. That was very surprising to me. Like, again, I don't know where they want to go with the story. So if they go somewhere different, fine. But I thought Coley could have been a great character to keep and then have that shocking ending for a couple more episodes.
Mm-hmm. I thought the actor did a good job convincing of the character, the kind of maybe two sides of the same coin of, you know, I love Aster. Aster drives me crazy. I'm, you know, mission driven, but I have these emotions, and you know, she's antagonistic to both of the characters, the only characters that have been consistent, which it felt off to me. I like the potential is there. Like if she was in another episode and maybe we're working together type of deal. Yeah. It just kind of, things just kind of happened is almost how it feels. Like, is she just, obviously, technically speaking, everyone in a story is pretty much a plot device. It feels like She just felt like a way to extract information out of Aster, which is not a bad thing. It's just looking back, it's like, okay, like it literally could have been anyone almost.
Right.
Is kind of how I feel about it. But I mean, there are still good moments. Like I liked all of the moments of both the, I guess you could say couples or pairings, you know, they're getting high together on the gravitational waves. Yeah. You know, we learn maybe a little bit more about Aster's past, kind of, somewhat, sort of. We learn more about Halen's past, which was good. You know, so she was a way to get us a lot of information, which is interesting to me. It's just that I guess I'm less interested in her as a character. And then she literally dies in the episode. And it's like, okay, well, adios.
Yeah. They definitely had a lot of potential with her. Give her a little shout out, Sandrine Holt. She's in 24, House of Cards, Homeland, The Expanse. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a big 24 guy, so I recognized her right away, and I had to go back and double check, make sure I was right. you know, her suit was pretty cool. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
she looked I'm trying to think of the name. Kanye West, I feel like, wore a mask like that for some concert. Forever ago. That's just, I don't know why it sort of reminded me of. I was like, oh my God, look, Kanye West is on the beacon.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, in the beginning of this episode, before we even meet Coley, we have Halen packing up the bodies. Aster pretty much confirms via the cameras with Harm that the samples are what's triggering the PTSD for Halen. We obviously knew this as a viewer, but now Aster's confirming it for herself. Bart is now restored. But Halen doesn't want his permissions restored, so our boy's quieted.
Yeah, he's still beep, boop, boop, boop.
We bring up the Beacon 20, or the Beacon 23, the Beacon security ring, and you do see later that Halen is wearing it, but I'm not really sure what it's supposed to do yet. Do we know this yet? I mean,
if we did, it went over my head.
Yeah, because she says, oh, look, good, finally, we found the ring, and gives it to him. And I do notice that throughout the episode, he's wearing it, but I have no idea what it's supposed to do. Something big that we do get in the same scene is that Aster is looking at the samples again, and she looks and she sees that it matches her pendant. So we're starting to get some information about how these rocks can have something to do with Aster's past. And Aster throughout this episode does believe that Halen and herself are there for a reason.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to me, like, especially introducing Coley, who you can tell they did very good at letting us know that they were in a relationship. Like you said, it's a love hate kind of thing for Coley. She loves her, but she hates that she loves her because basically she says Aster's a POS, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
But you could tell that Aster loves Coley back, but Aster is who she is. So it's a difficult relationship. But I was just, this whole thing made me confused because she was choosing Halen's side over Coley's side. And I know she was confused and suspicious of Coley from the QTA side of things and if it was all set up and all this kind of stuff. But I think the relationship between Halen and Aster is great, but I think the trust that she has for him is kind of falling flat to me, where it's like, she is putting all this. She's like, we're taking Halen, right? We're taking him. We're taking him. We're taking him. Like, she is fighting Coley like crazy, and she's doing the whole, we're meant to be here. And I feel like I'm not getting that, the strength of that connection yet. I don't see that, why she has it yet.
Yeah. Just, the only thing I can think of is, and basing off of something you just said as well about Coley and Aster's relationship, is that I guess she has a penchant, it seems, Aster, this is, for just going off and maybe putting her trust, even briefly, in just random people. Other people. She seems to be quite obsessive at this point about the rocks, the connection to her mother, why she is there, type of deal. We've also talked, I feel like, before in the last episode of thinking about Halen and why Halen's there,
mm-hmm.
and his connection to the rocks and things like that. So she could be thinking of that along those same lines, type of deal. But yeah, no, I mean, it's, I think their chemistry is there for sure. But yeah, it definitely feels a bit jarring that it's like, I'm staking my existence with this man,
right?
Over, and I mean, I guess Coley is also equally as shocked of like, what the hell is going on here, dude? Like, we've been through, you know,
who is this bro?
I don't remember how many years they say, but yeah, it's been like 10. Probably a decade, right? Yeah,
10 years.
So,
and we were just talking about how it was confusing to us how, you know, the first two episodes they were basically super suspicious of each other,
mm-hmm.
and we get into it more this episode where Halen and Aster both just come to an agreement that Aster's just a liar. That's just what she does. So there's just no, I don't see the trust. And Halen isn't pushing it as much as the opposite way. Like, yeah. Halen,
well, he almost ditches them.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. I think he was on his way out. So Halen did decide he could have rolled out. And he decided to come back and save Aster in episode two, which was big. And yes, the chemistry's there big time. They're homies, love it. But it seems like it's on Aster's side where she's just like, we are freaking connected here. There's something going on and I'm going to ride or die for this guy. And trust me, I'm okay with it. But I think it's a little too much right now. Just it doesn't really make full sense. But maybe it will begin to make sense when we get more information. We don't know what these rocks do. We don't know supernatural what the rocks do. They could be pulling them into, you know, we don't know yet.
She does seem to think, and now as I'm reading my note, and now I'm questioning as I'm opening my mouth and saying this, whether I wrote this or she says something to this effect, but like the rocks, the pendant, and the dreams and the visions
are all connected. Kind of,
they're all connected.
That's what she says. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that she's definitely, I think, latching on to that. It also seems to be that there's like an underlying thing for her of like wanting her life and the things she does to have meaning. You know, because we talked in episode one when she's discussing how her job has basically taken her away from all of her family and, you know, how her mom was like, don't end up like me. We learned in this episode type of thing. So I think that maybe that's just like a character trait of hers where like she plays it off as the nonchalant, cool gal. But like I think she does want to like, you know, have an impact and is searching for meaning type of thing. So maybe that's kind of an explanation there for why she's latching on to Halen so much. I could easily be convinced. I may have just convinced myself of that.
Yeah, I like that. I do. I like that a lot. Going back to just the disposing of the bodies, we get that cool scene where they're actually like actually disposing of them. We get the spacesuits. I thought the spacesuits are cool as shit. The cinematography, again, the visuals. Not only one, when we're seeing them go to Mars again, I guess that's not the best way of saying it now for all our Family Guy friends, because they are freaking in space here, but they're getting high with the gravity.
They were fucked up.
Yeah. And they were doing it a lot too. Like they're just like, yeah, you want to go back up there and party? Let's party. So they're doing it. But like the visuals on the top of that beacon, and this is a little bit later in the episode, but they're talking about how all I want is some oxygen and clouds and the blue sky. And that's so ironic because I'm watching it. I'm sure you are too, going like, wow, this is a ridiculous visual at the top of this beacon, seeing the galaxy, seeing everything in the universe. And you're like, this got to be cool shit. But all they want is what we have. It's pretty, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, also it's just like something that you for sure just take for granted. The fact that I can step outside of my apartment door and hit some fresh air. I mean, it just reminds me too, like Asia was a little congested recently, and it's just like how often you take for granted just being able to breathe air type of deal. So I can't imagine just like holed up in a place for, I mean, Halen, I guess it's been a long ass time.
Yeah, and even I love how they do this. They did it in the first two episodes. You have to have, the silo does it too, going back to Hugh Halley, you have to have the manipulation of light because you're in space and you're underground. And you have to keep the circadian rhythm somewhat right, or you're just going to be totally effed up. I mean,
that's a good point.
Even being here, meaning on Earth in the regular day, like I wake up if I don't get the light in the morning, or even if it's like winter and we don't get the sunlight as much, the heat, you feel different. It's a seasonal depression thing. Everyone talks about it.
Yeah, how much it sucks now that the sun's setting so early.
Yeah, so I can't imagine being stuck in that beacon, but the visuals are just unbelievable. So props to them again. I want to give some props to some of our YouTube commenters, some of our Discord people, you know, just talking about the visuals, the cinematography, and even I want to talk about it right now, just really quick. Someone brought up the pulse gun, and that's actually, we didn't bring up the point that it's actually smart to have that because regular ammunition would just like F up the beacon. Yeah, you don't want that kind of stuff. I was more along the lines of I didn't really understand what it was doing, like when it went through them at one point and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, props to them because it's true. You have to like think of that kind of stuff. We didn't really bring that up.
Yeah.
But after the disposal of the bodies, we get to Halen and he thinks the QTA hacked the beacon, blew up the ship, sent the wreckers. Fast forward, pretty much confirmed, but yeah, we'll get to that in a second. My big question at this moment that I had in my notes, which we do get answered, is why the hell are they sending the Wreckers? Why are they sending Aster? Why are they deciding to blow up her ship after they're the ones that sent her? So you have to assume she didn't want to survive. They didn't want her to survive. But later in the episode, we find out, spoiler alert, that it was all a plan. And they looked at the psyche vow of Solomon and they said, we're going to leave one survivor and he's going to bring her in. And that's going to be our infiltrator. So smart on the QTA, smart on Aster for figuring it out. But damn.
Yeah. And again, like in the context that we learned in the show, it's from Cooley. Aster figures it out, but then Cooley kind of mentions that Halen is, you know, 84,000 star systems away. So while he may not know, in the same sense that Aster didn't really know what was going on, being manipulated around her, I'm curious what kind of that flip side of the coin is for him. For maybe there was some level of manipulation going on to get him there as well, which would be interesting.
Right.
Because we learn a lot about his past.
We do.
In this episode, too.
That's another good thing we have about Coley, because I'm assuming that it was her, when she sends the request for his data, we only get that because she was able to pull it in from QTA. So it wasn't Bart brings it up, or Harm, whoever she asks, whatever AI she asks, but it's her authorization that gets the information. And even Halen, he knows who's in his squad and he remembers that kind of stuff, but he's not believing the fact that he did this to his squad, which is one of those things that I'm under the impression that it's going to be a fuzzy thing and it's not going to be that. And we're going to find out something different.
Well, we talked, you brought up iRobot, I believe, in reference to him for episode one. And we know that he's, you know, this kind of somewhat nebulous term of a human weapon. He has some type of robotic technological upgrades. I wonder
if there is, can they take control of him or something?
Yeah, like anything to a higher level where they could, you know, manipulate memories or, like
override him or something.
Yeah, make him act in certain ways. That would be an interesting twist, I think, for sure. Because, I mean, he did 7 tours, which was more than Cooley's dad, who she was like super proud of. Like, he was this big military man. So like he's has more almost military experience under his belt than that. Like, it doesn't seem like he would just randomly abandon the squad. He obviously doesn't really know what happened, it seems. Well, beyond him saying it didn't happen like that type of deal. So I just don't know. They've done a good job, again. The main thing I'm interested in the show is all of these mysteries, and we're developing them and learning new ones at the same time, which is good. What did you think of, and again, we talked about this at length, it felt like at the end of last episode, of where we just learned from Bart, Harmony watched the tapes and was like, that's not what happened. And it was like, oh, it just like kind of happened in the beginning of the episode. And I was like, oh my God, okay, we're off to a hot start in episode 3.
Yeah, and it was interesting that it wasn't one of those things where Aster herself or Halen himself said, yo, pull up the tapes, I'll show you that I didn't do this shit. Or Aster be like, I need to know, man. I need to know if I could trust you. Pull up the tapes. It's just like Harm, as a side note, was like, Bart, chill out, man. He's not a murderer. We saw it. It's an accident. He didn't do anything wrong. You know, shit happens. I mean, we got our answer. I'm glad we did, because I think we did say to both of us we wanted that answer pretty quickly, because it wouldn't make sense not to have it. So we don't know why Bart still doesn't like Halen.
Yeah, it seems, and I'm okay with this, I even love this, that Bart's just like a big Solomon guy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck this Halen guy, you know, type of deal. I love that level of like a super biased AI with like, you know, like emotions and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that being the answer. Seems like more to come with Bart. I like how he very easily allied with Cooley when she like kind of hacks into the system.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, for sure. Whatever he says. Just like, I got all
back,
that info.
Are you enemy
tab,
or you friend to Halen?
Yeah, that was
Let's
so
do
good.
This I thing. Like Let's tear his ass up.
That was fun.
Yeah, I think Bart's gonna be interesting for the rest of this season.
He's a little wild bastard. Card. He's just a little wild card.
He's definitely a wild card. So I'm excited to see where he goes. He has to be something big to the story. They were bringing up and doing the whole override and Harm going into a system and showing us those weird hallucinations for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something to find in there, or something going on that we're going to find out in the next couple episodes, or maybe even with the finale, whatever it is. Where the key is going to be to something Bart knows, something Bart's done, you know, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So now we actually meet Coley in this part of the episode. And Like I said, the suit was cool shit. I like the suit. I like the spiky head. I like Kanye coming in for the headbutt, trying to take out Haley.
Yeah, that was good.
Let me say that I still don't love the fight scenes. I think that what they're doing here is more of like, we want to make it like raw, real life kind of stuff. They're using like jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai fighting. Obviously, Haley goes for the arm bar towards the end. I think they were going for the realism, which I'm fine with, but it just cracks me up how they're just doing it kind of tipsy, whatever, however you want to say it, like back and forth, where like last two episodes, it was fantastical because it's sci-fi and they're flipping upside down and they're losing their balance and this and that. And now this episode, it's just like a hand-to-hand combat fight. Thought it was cool, but I just still think it's a little underwhelming. What did you think of the throwdown?
I think I agree, especially like with the aftermath when he's like quote-unquote training against the pillar. Yeah. And it oddly enough feels out of place. Even though we know that they're like military people and like they're telling us that and they're kind of showing us that, but I do agree. It just is like a part of the episode. It's like a footnote almost in an episode for
right. me. Yeah. And I hope that they take her suit and use it if they need it, because I like how Haitlin was a little pissed off that he won the fight, but it wasn't as easy as he thought it would be. He believes he's a human weapon. He's Seven Tours army, this and that. And Aster does say, like, Coley will really love that you love her suit, badass suit. So maybe Aster will get into it. But we do know Aster's not a fighter, and it was Coley that was the fighter. So I don't know what Aster could do in that suit. And I don't even know if that's the kind of story they want to tell. Like, I don't know how much fighting they want to be in this. It might just literally be, we're hanging out and we're talking for a lot of this show.
She'll just shank a bunch of people with, like, a screwdriver.
She just keeps shanking people,
her,
man.
Yeah, it seems to be her go-to move.
Right in the liver, man.
Yeah, maybe close that distance. Just shank the motherfucker. It's not a bad move. Yeah. It's not a bad move.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not.
She's been quite effective with it over two or three episodes.
I'd take that over the concussion gun, man.
Oh, my God, for sure.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, so once we meet Coley, we get all of the confirmation we need that they work for the QTA as together, as partners. Eventually, we find out that Coley is technically her boss, her manager. She says at first that she has no idea what Aster's talking about when it comes to the actual blowing up of the crest and her joining the ship and being saved by Solomon, a.k.a. Haylin. She says she was coming in to check on and save Aster, which we find out is a lie. Mm-hmm. But something that is pretty interesting is that she says Aster requested / demanded this mission, and they never do that at all. We find out that really, at this point, Coley sees the rocks fully as we're rich. Aster plays that card with Coley, knowing it'll like get her to do what she wants. But we know that Aster thinks there's a little bit more to the rocks than that. Coley doesn't like Haylin, and we do find out that Coley hates AI in general.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to talk to Harm. She talks to Bart later, and she talks to Harm when she needs her to save her life, but otherwise she doesn't like AI.
Yeah, that felt like a setup just for the end of the episode, which, I mean, it did hit for me, and I was like, ha-ha.
Yeah, right.
Harm ain't helping.
Bart should have came in and helped her if they're homies, but she did kind of force her will with them. It wasn't really like he was... friend. Like, at first, if she would have said, like, oh, I'm an enemy to Haylin, she would have been like, or he would have been like, let's go. Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
But she kind of was like, do what I say. And we're getting a lot of that in this show with the do what I say kind of stuff with the AI.
Well, she's not a very subtle person, and also doesn't seem like a person that gets told no a lot.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
I mean,
she seems
very forceful. She's the boss, the boss of what she is. She's the company manager, so we're going back to the company for the QTA.
It's so funny to think about that we have titles like that, like company manager versus, like, it feels like they're more like combat people.
Yeah.
Just like, it feels a little bit incongruous. But it does add a little interesting wrinkle again to the company, the QTA, you know? So
it's one of those things too that you brought up in the last episode covering episodes 1 and 2, where this stuff is interesting, but are we going to get the widespread portion of this stuff? Like, are we really going to find out the deal with even the minister from the last episode, the QTA in general? We'll get QTA because we know it has to do with the QTA, what's going on with the mission and stuff. But there's ISA, there's QTA, there's all this cool stuff that we can talk about, but we don't know if they're going to talk about it, if they're even planning on talking about it, which it could make this show worse if we get some information, and then you're like, okay, but
yeah,
you're not really telling us much more.
We're
world building, but not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're at a place, right? At least I don't want to speak for you. I'm at a place where I don't know where to place my expectation. My base expectation, knowing nothing, is this like kind of nearly, you know, grand space adventure almost. That sounds actually bigger than what I'm thinking, expecting type of deal. And what one of the YouTube comments said, it's interesting still if it's two characters hold up in this kind of
That's
beacon
fine.
For a long time. But we also are breaking that isolation, it feels like, periodically with side characters that introduce world-building aspects that are kind of like, if that just ends up being window dressing, I feel like I would rather it be pure isolation than like isolation with window dressing that only serves to, I guess, maybe increase the feeling of the isolation because we know the world outside's bigger and I guess you could argue, but I guess for me personally, that's not as much what I'm interested in.
Yeah. I mean, double-edged sword here, because if they don't give us anything, I'm sure there'll be viewers that say like, okay, there's two people on a beacon and we don't know anything about anything. Like, what do we care about them? But then it is like we're saying, you start to get a taste of what's out there. You're going to want to know why they're not giving us more of it and why they're not actually expanding this story. So, you know, I don't know how many times we want to beat this dead horse, but excited to see which route they're going to take. And it could honestly be, like I said last episode, it could be, hey, it's an isolation season. We're going to give you a taste of what's out there. If the season does well, maybe we'll expand it. And it doesn't even have to be necessarily Aster and Halen in the story going forward, or maybe they will be, but it'll be expanded. Who knows? I mean, MGM Plus, I'm not sure what their plans are in general for how big they want to get. I mean, the thing that the problem is here, it's MGM Plus. It's not Amazon. It's not Netflix. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are saying, how do we watch this shit? And again, I do want to reiterate, you can watch it on Amazon Prime. You can watch the first episode for free, and then you'll have to pay if you want the rest. There are people that do have it with their cable. So if you're listening to this, you're not even one of these people, but you know, of course, check it out. But, you know, like From, I brought it up last episode. From is getting big and made some splashes for MGM Plus. Hopefully Beacon 23 does. I don't know if it will, but I just don't know what they think they can do with a franchise on an MGM Plus level.
Yeah. Part of me wants to have read the source material to kind of know where we're at from a narrative standpoint, but I think that'll ruin things. So I won't do that. But yeah, I guess we're just going to have to see what happens. You know, we'll be here week to week and we'll just kind of ride the train along with everybody else. It seems like we got still some nice tidbits for us. I feel like not necessarily confirming things that we thought, but furthering storylines that we were interested in, which I think in general is just a win overall for this episode. I like the idea of the QTA being this kind of nefarious, by any means necessary entity within the universe, the galaxy, the what may have you. And I'm really latching on to this, like messing with the beacons conspiracy thing. It seemed like they had something to do with Beacon 23 itself making the crest crash, obviously. That feels like a lot of power. You know, to be able to pull something like that off feels like, whoa, you know, type of thing. So they're interesting me a lot. I'm super interested to see if Halen has any connection to the QTA that either he doesn't remember or he doesn't realize, type of thing. So there's still, you know, lots of interesting bits in here.
Yeah, I agree. And it does seem like if organized crime exists in this world, that's them, you know, the company being, you know, being in the shadows. That just, that seems like that's what it is. And I agree. It seems like it's interesting. Throughout the episode, you have Aster wondering why she's a great employee for all these years. Why the hell are they planning on killing her? We find out that they didn't plan on killing her and they actually were just setting her up, but it's still risking her life. And, you know, Coley does the whole, I would have never let you die thing and whatever. They're basically using her as bait, so they don't think that much of her. So,
yeah,
she's going to have a problem with that, obviously. You know, I actually thought during this episode that Coley was warming up to Halen for a second. They do play us like that, where they're we're watching them. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. They're going to be homies. Like, just like the episode, why can't we do three or whatever the hell I just said the episode's name was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, we get the whole dinner scene and, or even before the dinner scene, like they look like where they bring up that she's going to cook. Well, then right away, Coley's like, I'm going to go to my ship and totally sandbag Halen and put in the request for all of his information. And then, you know, she's pretty nefarious from the rest. And that's where it came with the villain of the week kind of situation. Halen Kai Nelson is his name. Not that that's hugely important, but that's what we find out. Something I wanted to ask you is right around this point in the episode, Aster is continuing to be suspicious about this crash, but Harm says it's an accident. And Harm says, don't go any further into this. What are you doing? When she goes like to the pod and she's trying to figure stuff out, do you think that Harm has anything to do with this in the QTA and she's kind of like a double agent? Or do you just think that she's purely Aster's AI that only knows a certain amount and can't figure out the rest of it, and that's why she just believes it was an accident?
I think maybe it's a bit of both. I think maybe she's aware of the potential of the QTA. I don't know if she's necessarily in on what's going on with the QTA. I feel like they made a very specific point to mention that she is like a personal AI. I think it would be interesting if we find out that like Harm was her mom's AI.
Oh, okay.
And then maybe something happened to her mom and Harm's kind of, I don't want to say PTSD. I don't know if that's a possible thing for the AI, but they have mentioned it in Halen. So if she's like basically not wanting Harm to go down that same road, maybe of what happened to her mom.
She's trying
type
to protect her.
Yeah, I could see that being a thing. Maybe I'll just throw that on the board just to not care if it's wrong and think of it as an interesting thing. I don't want Harm to be like a calculated, stone cold, like company woman, I guess you could say.
Right.
A company AI type of thing. So I'm going to hope that it's more of like a personal, emotional, is trying to look out for Aster type of angle.
I agree. I think that's a good way to do it because I don't need Bart and Harm to turn, even though Bart's not really a turn because we already think of him as a little bastard.
Yeah,
but
he's
still,
from the get.
Yeah, I mean, if he ends up being something big with the reveal of how the finale turns out, I don't need there to be something later where Harm's like, ha ha ha, I worked with the QTA this whole time. I don't think I need that. I kind of do like that she's the personal AI. I love the mother thing. That's great. She's trying to protect Aster. That's where you get into like Westworld kind of stuff where it's like AI making their own cognitive decisions, which is cool. But I mean, I don't know. Again, are
this
they going to go with
more,
that kind of
I mean,
stuff?
But, yeah, this version of, I guess you could say, our world seems much more advanced than what was going on in Westworld. So
yeah, definitely.
I could see it being a thing.
So we get this dinner scene. You think they're going to have a nice little dinner. Coley just turns heel in 2 seconds and just
she was wasted.
Throws it. And I guess I forgot to say earlier, Aster and Coley go to Mars again. Everyone just loves going to the gravity room and doing it big. And first they're getting hammered, then they're getting high and whatever you want to say. And they're just doing it big. And I didn't bring this up, but I do like the conversation at first that Halen has with Aster about like, what do they think is going on with the person in the lighthouse? Is he going to make it? Is he going to die? Mm-hmm. And he says he changes it every day. And what do you think today? I think he's getting his ass crushed, that kind of thing. I do like how he's like, I've been up here for a year just trying to figure out what's up with this little dude.
Yeah, I agree. The photo itself, like I mentioned last episode, is interesting to me just from the personal angle of it's been in my parents' house since I have a memory. So
what do you think?
Like,
do you think
I did a little, you know, the little Leo DiCaprio when it came on the screen, a little snapping point. I just like what he says. And again, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure if it happens here or later when he basically says to Aster, he's very determined when he's like, I'm like not going to let that weight crush me. Like no matter what happens, like I won't be the guy stuck on the lighthouse. I refuse to let that be me. I like that. I guess maybe symbolism per se, or either like that just use of the photo to kind of tell us more about Halen's character. I thought that was well done.
Yeah, I agree. That is a little bit later after it's found out that he's the deserter, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, great time to talk about it now anyway, just because it's just generally all the times they're going to Mars. And at this point, Aster and Coley having a little quality time together and Halen sandbags him a little bit, you know? they just get right back to it anyway, so they don't care.
Yeah. They weren't going to let nothing stop them after, yeah, I guess, years. Them.
Under the stars, man. Under the stars and making love.
That's quite the spot.
Yeah, really is. So, but during this dinner now, we find out a lot here. More background information from Coley. You know, throughout this episode, you're finding out that she loves Aster. And I'm not expecting her to just straight up be like, you know what? You're a piece of shit. You cheated on me a million times. You left me for 4 days. I just want you to know, Halen, that she sucks. And I love her in spite of the fact that she sucks. Like, I don't like that I love her. It was an interesting dinner conversation.
I literally wrote, like, the things that were happening. You know, Aster's promiscuous and Coley thinks she's unreliable and she uses people. And now, you know, all of Halen's quote-unquote dirty laundry is getting aired. And I just wrote this episode is literally all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot get a pin down on Coley or whatever, her place, her roles towards other people. It was just all over the place. Yeah. Or just like, she's nice and she's working this way and we know she's doing things behind the back, and her and Aster then hook up and they bang, and then now she's airing out all her dirty laundry, and yeah, and then her and Halen have like a somewhat nice interaction at one point, and now he's, you know, worse than scum and she wants to spit in his face, and I was just I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah. You can tell right away in this episode, not right away, but pretty quickly, that Aster and Coley have a relationship, some kind of relationship, intimate. It was interesting when Aster's getting like the massage from Halen and he stops right away and looks over and it's Coley. And this is before we find out that she's like, hey, you cheat on me 24/7. And Aster has to say to Coley later, me and Halen, there's nothing going on. And she says it a few times. Like, she says it nonchalantly in the beginning when Halen is first kind of introduced to Coley. And then it's more beaten over the head when she's laying in bed and says, come on, lay with me, and that kind of stuff. Basically, we're learning here that Aster's sketchy. I mean, she's our protagonist. We love her. Cersei Lannister, we love to hate her. But Lena Headey's our girl, but she's got some sketchiness to her. Halen, to me, this is where, obviously, like you said, his dirty laundry's coming out. I think it's bullshit. I think that, like you said, I love the fact that you're bringing up maybe he was either overridden or forced to do something, or his memories are being changed or something like that. If he has something to do with the QTA, easily they could just rewrite that mission statement, that mission report, and have it show up so that Coley sees it and says you're POS to Halen, like, easily rewritten.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think definitely Halen's going to be coming out pretty much as like a little angel here at some point. Now, as much as like a soldier human weapon can be a little angel, you know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
Aster's the interesting character here because she's our protagonist as well, but she's got some demons. She's got some skeletons in those closets.
Yeah, she seems to have more, let's call it, I guess, purposeful depth, in the sense that she is consciously making decisions. She has a past of actions and things that she's not necessarily running away from. I feel like she isn't saying like, oh, I never did those things. Like, she's very cognizant that those things happen type of deal. And it, like, they were a way for either her to get what she wanted or et cetera, et cetera. While Halen is in more like the denial sphere of A, those things didn't happen, or B, you know, like, I don't remember them, or that's not me type of thing. So they kind of have those little bit of opposites in the sense that they still have that checkered past. So I like that, you know, that combination of the two of them. I wonder how they will, moving forward, kind of learn from each other, learn about each other, grow together, maybe enforce the worst, or like, you know, the least good parts about each other. Maybe it's not necessarily a good relationship, you know. Maybe they bring out the worst in each other, or they bring out the best in each other. I don't know. I mean, like you said, they're the stars of the show, so the fact that we're learning more about them and they're becoming more interesting each episode is a good thing. That's what the show should be about.
I agree.
But again, not to beat the dead horse again, it's everything outside of them is where the show falls short. And I guess if you had to decide, that's the best way for it to happen. Like, if you had to pick one, I'm glad the main characters and their storylines are the intriguing and the mystery and all that kind of stuff. So,
I'd rather definitely the main characters be the interesting thing than have battle or Coley or somebody show up, we'd be like, oh my God, they're the coolest thing ever. And that these main characters suck. And then they kill off the side characters who are awesome. So we're fine. Like, we're okay. It's just, it's just one of those things where we have to see where it goes. But something big that does happen here is we find out about Gashad, I believe her name is. And this is the girl from the Vision. So during this entire throwdown between Coley and Halen, where she's just throwing everything in his face, she starts naming everybody that pretty much died because he deserted. And at first, Halen's like, whoa, like, I didn't desert. Like, I don't think that's, or I think he knows he deserted. He just doesn't know why. He says it's fuzzy. He thinks he deserted. So again, that's all confusing, but he does remember the names and he starts naming people after she's naming people. He finishes her sentence and he says, Gashad, we have a lot of history. Then it shows the Visions. And you pretty much nailed it from the beginning. You convinced me in the first episode, but for whatever reason, when I was seeing the Visions, I was thinking it had something to do with him helping Solomon, like, get the rocks, and the rocks were distorting his vision, and it was like an expedition to get the, like, maybe the girl, Solomon, and him were the ones getting the rocks. But it just, for now, it does seem like it's the mission that he was on that he deserted, and Gashad is his girl that he has a history with and one of his soldiers.
Well, I think both of those things can almost be true, because, like, especially the more we see the flashbacks and stuff for the, I guess we just call them flashbacks, they seem blue toned to me.
They do. Yeah. They do.
In the same way that the rocks are. So that could definitely, I would say, is still a viable possibility, I guess we'll call it. Yeah. I don't think we have anything to say we can write that off completely.
Okay. Yeah. So that's interesting that we got that information now. So we figured out who the girl is. I'm sure we'll get more about her soon. I was just cracking up. Well, first of all, they're talking about the mission and now it's upgraded. And there's been side conversations this whole episode. Asser wants to bring Halen. Coley doesn't. And she says she will. And then obviously she's sneaking behind his back and she's trying to get rid of him. All that kind of stuff that's underlying the entire episode. Then we find out that this is I don't know if she said a C mission or something, but it's upgraded to a higher level where even Coley's not going to ask what they want from it. And it's based on Solomon and Aster's reports. Whatever the reports are that they got, they believe it should be upgraded. Now, when you say Solomon's reports, do you think that just means that Coley got on the ship, or even Aster sent the reports to QTA? It wasn't that Solomon was, like, working for the QTA. It's just that they grabbed the reports and sent them, and that's why they're now upgraded.
I guess in the upgrade, the reason for the upgrade probably has something to do with Coley, I would say. But initially, he sent reports somehow to someone,
right?
You know, maybe I could see that. You know, maybe he sent him initially to ISA. And I wouldn't be shocked at all. The QTA has bodies inside of ISA.
Yeah.
You know, intel type of people. Or, I mean, maybe Solomon's was working for QTA as, a fake member of ISA, because it seems like you need to be officially posted as a beacon keeper.
Right. Is that
what they call them, beacon keepers? Or did I just make that up? Okay.
No, that's
good. Yeah, it sounded right. So, yeah, again, Solomon, another thing, just more information that we need to find out, essentially.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but this whole conversation's happening as they're walking around going into the bedroom, and then they're kind of circling around each other. And Halen sneaking into the bedroom was cracking me up. Like, he's doing like a little like sneak, trying to get in. And I'm like, nobody's around right now, bro. Like, you could just walk right into the room. And then obviously they come around the corner. Eventually he hears them coming from a mile away. It takes him forever to be like, oh shit, they're coming.
Yeah.
And then
he's lucky, you know, it was a very emotional conversation they were engaged in.
And then they do that thing where they're just circling each other. One's in the room, one's not. And then the one, blah, blah, blah. And then he grabs the key. He finds out that this is game over for him. Coley's coming for him. So he runs to try to, I guess, take the ship. I guess he was ready to leave Aster. And that's what I was taking. And then tries to put the key in. And he gets concussion blasted pretty much, saying, not allowed in.
Yeah. Yeah. He's beat. At the same time, pretty much, Aster gets, I guess, trank patched. Whatever that may be. So my note just says they both get got basically at the same time. I mean, Coley is basically going to kill both of them.
Right.
She does say that she was going to kill Aster, which I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, this relationship is all over the place.
Yeah.
But I guess she couldn't bring herself to do so. And then we get to the end with a nice little liver shot.
Yeah. Yeah. The kill shot. So I mean, we already kind of brought this up. Something important here is that it took Halen 4 months to get to the beacon, 84,000 star systems away. And Coley says, well, there's only one reason he's coming to this freaking one spot, and that's for the rocks. Now, probably in Aster's head, that brings more of the along the lines of, hey, we're meant to be here for some reason.
For
it's
sure.
It's like star-crossed lovers, except not lovers. Just like we're meeting for some reason to get to these rocks. So that's confirming for her, and that probably is why she went as far as kill for somebody that she quote unquote loves. But yeah, we get all the information here. We find out about the QTA staging the accident. We already brought this up. So they knew or at least thought Salmon would bring Aster back in. She would be the mole inside. Coley knew this entire thing and she lied. So like you said, tranquilizing happens. And then the stabbing and fade to black, pretty much. So, another hello, goodbye for a character.
Yep. Yeah.
I think Coley was way, 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 way better than the Wreckers.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I am so happy that it wasn't just like, hey, here's another bad guy. I mean, I'm sure you were probably thinking, I thought it was cool, but then I was like, oh no, when the lights come back on and it says like, somebody's docked, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, is there gonna be another freaking like set of bad guys to kill? But I'm glad it was Coley. It was a great episode in terms of giving us more information. I would have liked for Coley to last a little bit longer. I think it would have been a very important death if this relationship would have lasted. I don't know how many freaking times I had to say it. I don't know where this is going, so I don't know how quick they need to get her out of here.
Yeah.
So if they don't need to get her out of here quickly, then I think this episode, spanning over like three episodes, where a little bit more time for Coley to pretend like she likes Halen, a little more time with the relationship between her and Aster, and then boom, Coley turns, here's the stab shot to the liver, fade to black, oh shit.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
They tell us, like, hey, Dark Matter Storm, 4 to 7 days or whatever. Or
4 to 5 days. Yeah, we're stuck here.
To wait it out,
keeping us on the beacon.
Thing. Yeah, so it felt like we were going to get that. But we got a little bit of a curveball. The only thing that we didn't touch on that I wanted to just briefly mention, it's just that we get a very quick scene of Halen mentions that his ship, or at least an object that shaped ship, pops up on the radar. I don't have any additional takes on that. I don't think we know enough for me to comfortably say what I think about it, but I guess we'll see what happens. I just don't know. He says that Solomon took it, so I don't know if that means that like he took it and something happened to it, and that's why he's like murdered and gone, or if he died on the beacon, you know, type of thing. I guess we'll find out more on that. But yeah, just the only wrap up or final thought I would have is just that, again, we're learning more, but we're also being exposed to more mysteries, and that's not the worst thing in the world. That seems classic Hugh Howey.
Yeah,
only
third
exactly
episode
how
out of
Silo
eight.
Went. Yeah, this. Yeah, I mean, Silo had obviously a larger cast of characters just due to the setting, but this is kind of similar to Silo in the sense that we're getting introduced to these mysteries, and maybe we learn more in the next episode about a mystery, but then a new mystery gets identified. So we have now Aster's mother and her chain and her little pendant.
Yeah,
so that's
and I
just
think
like
it's important to say.
Wrinkle.
I think it's important to say too that Hugh Howey talked to us twice on the podcast, and a lot of people watched Silo and were like, holy shit, what's going on outside? Can they leave? Can they not leave? Is it going to kill them? Is it going to not kill them? What is this damn mystery? And Hugh was like, cool, but think about the mysteries within the Silo, the relationships within the Silo. Mm-hmm. That's very important. It could be very similar. You know, we're talking about how they're not going to expand, or maybe they will expand. What are they going to do? It could just be, let's talk about the outside, but there's mystery enough, there's relationships enough within this beacon. And maybe Hugh wrote his first book, again, didn't read it. Maybe these 5 short stories are within the beacon. Maybe season 1 is his short stories together, and then maybe they'll expand it. He said himself that this is not a direct adaptation. It's very different. So he gave his blessing for the changes, so maybe he's okay with them just turning it into some big thing eventually.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to find out in the next episodes.
Yep. All right, guys. Beacon 23, episode 3 is done. We will be back for 4 through 8. So stay tuned. Again, if you're listening on the Silo or the Beacon 23 feed, check us out at BingeTownTV.com or our BingeTown TV feed. All you have to do is type BingeTown TV in any of your favorite podcast apps. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. We appreciate all of you guys commenting. We love to get back to you as quick as possible. If you're on the YouTube video and you want to listen to the podcast, the links are in the description. We'll make sure we can link you guys to get right to the podcast audio if you're looking for that, if you're on the run and you just want to listen to us instead of watching us. Otherwise, right now we're covering Murder at the End of the World, Beacon 23, and Invincible. We're dropping Invincible two episodes at a time, so we're not covering it week to week. We're dropping it in pieces, but episode four is this week, so a drop should be coming very soon. We've covered Fall of the House of Usher, Jujutsu Kaisen's coming, Attack on Titan was dropped, so there's plenty of stuff and everything in the past 4 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Check us out at BingeTownTV.com, guys. We have everything there. We appreciate you all listening and watching. Once again, we are BingeTown TV, and thank you so much for listening. And go Birds.
Go Birds.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.